Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. Today we're in Psalm number 90, and we resume our study in verse 10. Psalm 90, verse 10. Grab your Bible, open it up, and follow along with me as I teach it verse by verse. I'll give you a minute to do that, and while you are doing that, I'm going to tell you about the Scripture Verse by Verse website. If this is your first time watching Scripture Verse by Verse, then you need to know that there is a place for you to study the Bible at your convenience, at your own pace, and it is at the Scripture Verse by Verse website. Study the entire Bible two times using my audio Bible commentaries at thebibleversebyverse.com. And don't be in a hurry, because it's going to take you a while, because this is not a Old Testament survey or a New Testament survey. It's not a chapter by chapter or paragraph by paragraph. It's verse by verse, which is what we're doing today. Psalm 90, verse 10. Our third journey through the Bible. We're in Psalm 90. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 90, verse 10 says, "The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away." 70 or 80 years. That's about what we get, on average. My brother died just a couple of months ago, and he was 74, in excellent shape. He did 75 push-ups the morning that he was told he had cancer, and he was gone a few months later. My sister died about 5 years ago, and she was only 64. So you never know. But as a rule, it's 70 or 80 years. Now, you take that as a starting point, okay? And then subtract from that the days that you are sick. Subtract from that the days that you are injured. Subtract from that the days that you are sad. The days that you have to do things that you don't want to do. The days that you spend mourning, grieving, and you don't have a whole lot left, do you? There's not a whole lot left of this life as far as good days are concerned, and even those are a mixed bag. I hate to be pessimistic, but you guys know I'm being realistic, if you're honest, which means if this life is all there is, man, it's sad indeed. But it isn't if you're a Christian. It is if you're not a Christian. This is the best it's going to get for you. These 70 or 80 years, if you're fortunate, half of them probably miserable. That's the best it's going to get for you, man, because you're going to die and you're going to burn in hell forever paying for your sins if you don't repent and make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. For those of us who are Christians, man, this is the worst it's going to get. It's going to get nothing but better for us because of Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the one who shed his blood to pay for our sins. Verse 11. "Who knows the power of your anger? Even according to your fear, so is your wrath." In other words, who among us really, and I think I talked about this last time, who among us fears God as they really should? Really? How many people actually live in the reality of the fact that there is a literal hell, a lake of fire that lasts forever, where they will go if they don't repent? How many people live with that fear? Not enough. Verse 12. "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." This is one of my favorite prayers. I pray this a lot. "Lord, teach me to number my days, that I may gain a heart of wisdom." Number my days. Teach me to number my days. Don't take any of them for granted. I had a real estate person tell me years ago, the reason that land will always go up in value is because they're not making any more. And it's the same with our days. The reason all your minutes are so valuable is because you're not getting any more. God has allotted you X amount of minutes, and when they're done, they're done. You can't apply for an extension. So make the most of them. They're finite in number. Verse 13. Return, O Lord, how long? And may you have compassion concerning your servants. In other words, he's saying, how long, God, do I have to wait for you to change things for the better? How long? And you know what? I'm going to give you an answer to that question. In fact, I'm going to give you the only answer to that question for anyone who might be asking it. And you might be asking it. If you're not, you will at some point. The answer is until God decides it's the correct time to change things. And he may not decide to do that in this life. You may have to be content living in a not-so-good circumstance until you die and go to heaven. That's just the way it is. I know that's not popular today. The Word of Faith people, if there's any left watching me, have just erupted. If you hear an explosion, it's them. Good, I like making them explode. They should. I like to explode their doctrine. Verse 14, O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. I hope you spend the first part of your day with God. I don't care what time you have to get up. I don't care what time you have to go to work. Sometimes I get up at 4, 4:30, just so I can study the Word of God before I start my day doing other things. Sometimes, you know, I work a secular job part-time, and sometimes I have to be in very early. But if I do, I'm up two and a half hours before I have to go in because I want to spend time with God in His Word. Start each day with the Word of God. Let Him bless you early. Let Him satisfy you early because that'll help you to get through the rest of the day. But more important than anything, He deserves to have you spend time with Him. He wants it, and He deserves it. A lot of good reasons to do it. Verse 15, make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us and the years in which we have seen evil. In other words, give us good to make up for the bad. Balance it out, God. And God will do that if you're a Christian. And again, I have to caution you, maybe not in this life, but He will do it. He will more than make up for it in eternity. Just don't quit on Jesus, okay? Don't throw in the towel. Verse 16, let your work appear unto your servants and your glory unto their children. In other words, he's saying, do those works that you used to do. You know, in Bible days, do those big things that are written in Scripture. Now, some people want God to act the way that they think He used to act in Bible days. But you know what? When you read about the miracles in Scriptures, they were not the norm for the most part. Miracles, by definition, are rare. You know, with the exception of the 3 years or so that Jesus was here in His ministry, with the exception of those 3 years and the early church and a couple of different sections in the Old Testament, miracles were not the norm, and they're certainly not the norm today either. That's what makes them special. That's what makes them miracles. They're not the norm. Verse 17, and let the beauty of the Lord our God rest upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us, yea, the work of our hands, establish it. In other words, God, make everything that I do be something that glorifies you. Everything that I do, all the choices that I make, all the decisions that I make, let them all have eternal value. Psalm 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And this is talking about people who are walking with Jesus. This is talking about people today who have repented of their sin and asked Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. If you belong to Jesus and you don't have any unconfessed sins in your life, as far as you are aware of, then Almighty God is covering you like a security blanket. And he's just getting started. Look at verse 2. Excuse me. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. And He is your refuge. And you can trust in Him if you're walking with Him. If you're not, forget it. It's not going to work. It's not going to happen. If you, by the way, are trusting in God, then you are completely trusting in God and nothing else. There's nothing else added to it. You're either trusting in God or you're not. It's an all or nothing thing. You can't say, well, I'm trusting in God, but I'm trusting in the government. I'm trusting in God, but I'm trusting in this person or that person. No. No. You're either trusting God or not. Now, God can use certain things. Yes, He can, to bless you. But, don't cross that line, that fine line, when all of a sudden you are trusting in people or your own intellect or your own skills or something else rather than trusting in God. Because you cross that line, you're into sin. It is a command for us to trust in God. By the way, that's the only way you're going to have peace, because nothing else is reliable. Verse 3. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. If you trust God, which, by the way, trusting God means that you're living the Word of God, no matter what anyone else may be doing, no matter what anyone else might think of it, in spite of ridicule, you're living the Word of God, and then you're trusting God to take care of you, like the Bible says. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else that you need will be added unto you. So, if you're trusting in God, which means you're trusting in the Word of God and living the Word of God, no matter what else anybody else might be doing, God's going to protect you. He will tell, and you know what else He's going to do? He's going to tell you things that are going to help you to take steps to protect yourself, because you're going to be in constant fellowship with Him. Again, verse 4, He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Anytime the word truth stands out or is in a scripture that I'm teaching, it just pops right out to me. It's like it stands out in 3D, because I know that it is talking about the Word of God. And so if you're walking with Jesus, then you are going to be in continual communication with Him. That means the Holy Spirit is going to be speaking to you. You'll hear His voice. You'll hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, the voice of a stranger you will not follow. It also means that when you open up the Word, truth is going to jump out of the page at you and hit you right between the eyes and go right down into your soul. And that truth is going to protect you as it guides you. And you think walking with Jesus is boring? Are you out of your mind? You've never done it. Anybody who says, oh, I think walking with Jesus and Christianity must be boring, you've never done it. Because if you ever get a taste of Jesus, you'll know how great it is. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You get a taste of Him, you're going to crave Him. You're going to want Him more and more. Verse 5, you shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. Fear leaves when you're with Jesus. Remember Peter walking on the water? The waves splashing. Peter came walking to him. Jesus came walking to him in the boat. Peter got right out of that boat. Started walking. Why? Because he was in the presence of Jesus. Peter had a lot of guts when he was in the presence of Jesus. Of course, when he was separated from Jesus after the Lord was arrested, he caved into a little servant girl. He was such a coward. So if you're walking with Jesus, then you're going to be in continual communication with him. And that means that the Holy Spirit is going to open up the Word of God to you. It means that he's going to speak to you. That means fear is going to leave you, because you're going to be strengthened in your spirit, in your soul, in your body by the Word of Almighty God. You want courage to do what's right? You want guts? Then draw close to Jesus. And you know what's going to happen? You draw close to Jesus, the only thing that you're going to be afraid of is disappointing him. You're not going to fear anything else. It's the fear of man that brings a snare. The fear of God brings you courage. And the fear of God will come to you when you are close to God. Verse 6. Nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness. Not going to be afraid of that either. Nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. Not going to be afraid of that either. And so what's he saying? He's saying, if Jesus is your companion, then you're not going to be afraid of the dark. And you're not going to be afraid of anything that might hurt you during the daytime either. If you're the Lord's, then nothing is going to hurt your body unless he allows it. And certainly nothing is going to be able to touch your soul. Nothing's going to be able to harm your soul, period. But this confidence comes from being close to him. So that's why a lot of preachers don't preach with power. That's why a lot of preachers stand up in front of their church and they're afraid of the faces of people. Just like God warned his prophets in the Old Testament, Jeremiah, don't be afraid of their faces, Jeremiah, or I'm going to cause confusion before them in your mind. Don't be afraid of their faces. There's a lot of preachers who are afraid of the faces of people because they're not close enough to God. They don't spend enough time with God in his word and in prayer and in praise and worship. Because if they did, you know, they would, like one guy said, they'd charge hell with a squirt gun. Verse 7. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. So what he's saying is sinners are going to be dropping all around you like flies. And you're just going to sit back and you're going to watch from your place of safety in Christ. I'm just like sitting in a tornado shelter, right? And watching everything around you being blown to pieces, and you're perfectly safe. That's what it's going to be like on Judgment Day for sure, I guarantee you. If you're in Christ, you're going to see hell-bound sinners drop like flies and be thrown into hell one right after another, one wave after another. And you might be horrified at the sight of it, but you're also going to be praising God for his justice, and you're going to be praising God for the fact that you're not one of them. 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It shall not come near you. Verse 8, only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. See? And you know what the reward of the wicked is? It's what you wish it would be if you're a spirit-filled, Jesus-loving Christian. The reward of the wicked is them getting what they deserve, not only for sinning against God, but we all do that, right? But for rejecting his mercy that he paid such a high price for. I've got a son, the angriest I've ever been in my life was when somebody did something that I felt was hurtful to him. I was fit to be tied. You can ask him. He's not here, but you could ask him. That's as angrier than I've ever been in my life. People have done things to me. I didn't even get a fraction of the anger inside of me that I had when that happened to him. And you know what? On Judgment Day, because you're God's child, he's going to protect you. And the reward of the wicked is them getting what they deserve for sinning against God and for hurting you. Because believe me, God's not very happy with them. And their only hope is to repent. But if they don't, they're going to get it. And you're going to see it. And you know what else you're going to do when you see that? You are going to wonder why in the world you ever possibly even thought about questioning God's justice, as I know some people do. I know some Christians do. And again, it's because they're not in the Bible enough. Psalm 37. You read Psalm 37, you see that the guy who wrote that, he was all upset because the wicked were succeeding and they weren't being judged and everything was going well for them. Until he went into the house of the Lord and he saw their end. It wasn't very pretty, see? And if you're in the Word of God, you know that God's going to take care of business. And he will, and you're going to watch it happen. And you're going to, I don't believe you're going to have any pity for anybody who's thrown into hell. You may be horrified at the thought of it, but you're not going to pity any of those people. Because you know, not only do they deserve it for sinning against God, but like I said, they rejected God's mercy. God's mercy paid for by his Son, and he sat and watched that. And like I said, the angriest I've ever been was when I saw my son hurt. I can't imagine what God was feeling when he saw his son brutalized and murdered. He watched it, and you despise that mercy? You think of that mercy as being a little thing, something to be rejected? Mister, you deserve to burn in hell. We all deserve to burn in hell, but man, you're going there, and no one's going to pity you for that. Verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. In other words, because you walk with Jesus and because you are trusting him to take care of business, as you focus on living the Word of God, because you're doing that, verse 10, there shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. You're going to miss out on a lot of bad that otherwise you would have experienced. You're going to miss out on a lot of bad in this life, and in eternity, you're going to be surrounded by so much good. You're going to be experiencing so much good that you might even say, this is too much. This is too much good. I can't stand it. But you will, and it'll be wonderful. Verse 12. Verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all their ways. Now, God doesn't need angels to take care of us. He doesn't need angels to protect us, but he uses them for whatever reason. Just like he doesn't need us, really. But he has designed things so that he will use us to further his plan of salvation, to do a lot of his work here on earth. Verse 12. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You know, I wonder, how many close calls did you and I have in our life? How many close calls where something horrible didn't happen because we were protected by angels? I think we get to heaven, we just may see a lot of those things. See a lot of things that would have been if God had not sent his angels to protect us. More reasons to praise him, more reasons to shout, be happy, believe me. Verse 13, you shall tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the serpent shall you trample under feet. In other words, we're in good hands, we Christians. No matter how mean and no matter how ferocious our enemies might be, no matter how powerful they might be, God is infinitely tougher than any of them. Verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. We cannot earn God's protection. We can't be good enough to earn God's protection. But we have it if we love him. See, if we love him, that means we're saved. And if we're saved, we're part of God's family. And God the Father protects his children. So it comes down to this. Are you saved or not? And the thing that's indicative of that, do you love Jesus or not? If you do, you got his protection. Verse 15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Notice, no matter how much we may love and trust God, we still need to pray. He says, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. You still need to pray. Don't take God for granted. It's true that some things God will do without us praying for. But there are other things that he won't do unless we pray for them. And he doesn't tell us which ones are which, so we need to pray. Verse 16. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Long life. You know, God promises long life to people who are saved and are living for him. Now, that's not an absolute promise, because this is poetry. You got to take into consideration the type of literature that's here. But I can tell you this. You're going to live out the full length of life that God has ordained for you. If you're saved and you're walking with Jesus, you're going to live out all your days, however many days those may be, in contrast to the wicked, who God says will not live out half their days. So, if you want a life that is abundant, like Jesus said, if you want life eternal, and you want life abundantly, then live it for Jesus. Number one, if you've never surrendered, if you've never repented of your sin, and asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you are a heartbeat out of hell. You are on such thin ice that if you knew what was on the other side, I swear you'd have a heart attack. But you are a heartbeat out of hell. That's why you need to repent and ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior right now, to take control of your life, to forgive you, to take control of your life, to wash away all of your sins. You need to do that. The Bible says today is a day of salvation because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. The only thing that you have is the now. You better take care of business, because if you don't, you're going to pay for your sins in hell forever and ever. And I hope you enjoyed studying the Word of God with me, and you have, if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you probably got a little uncomfortable, and that's okay. God wants you to be uncomfortable. Maybe then you'll wake up and repent before it's too late. But if you want to study the Word of God further, you can do that at thebibleversebyverse.com. That's the Scripture Verse by Verse website found at thebibleversebyverse.com. Go there and study the entire Bible using my audio Bible commentaries. And if the Word of God has blessed you and blesses you, would you please consider blessing us back? Not underwritten by a large church or denomination. This has been a faith ministry for 30 years. I teach the Word of God as clearly as I possibly can, and I rely on the free will offerings of people who love God's Word. And so if you'd like to bless us back and you'd like to give an offering to us to keep us going here, help keep us going, I'd appreciate that. You can give in a very secure method at thebibleversebyverse.com. Just click on that donate button, front page, and give in a secure method using PayPal. And you don't need an account, by the way. You can give using PayPal in a secure method. If you want to get in touch with us the old-fashioned way, our mailing address is Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. Again, Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. Can't wait to join you next time. We'll be in Psalm 92. Until then, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. Thanks for spending this time with me. So long, everyone.